plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
The T-ball program usually heard at this time will be momentarily delayed for a special broadcast.
Prepare yourself for a trip through time, space, and the reality that you have known. When you enter into Willow's world. Willow Andreasen brings you the thought-provoking dialogue and news from around the world that shows your mind has no limitations. Take it away, Willow.
Good afternoon and welcome from a beautiful United Kingdom. My name is Willow Andreasen, also known as Sorry Sunflower, in the Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com chat room. And this is... a cough. No, it's not. It's me clearing my throat. It's the Thursday, the 19th of August, 2021 edition of Willow's World. And before I get started with telling you what's happening on today's show, I just want to say a big, big thanks to Patrick, who was on before me with Not For Public Consumption. Thank you very, very much indeed, Patrick. And a big thank you to all the hosts here at the station for everything you all do, and to all the producers, the moderators, and the amazing team that I'm humbled and honoured to be a part of. And say I exclude myself from the list of thanks because I do not feel comfortable thanking myself at all for anything. I just do what I do, hope I do it well. Probably not popular with very many people, but there you go. It's not a popularity contest. The team bends over backwards and beyond, and then just a little bit more to ensure that this station with its two studios, which is pretty much 24/7 on both, is up and running. As just mentioned, 24/7. And very flexible lot. have to be very flexible. And say huge outpourings of gratitude for team, and also huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs to Liz Ringley, who continues to represent and play an important part in the life of this station. And also huge outpourings of gratitude to the individual whose prescience, whose vision, whose drive convinced him he needed to establish this safe and secure platform for free speech on New Year's Day 2011. We've been going for over 10 years now, folks. We are now, and this is how quickly the year's gone. We are now just over 4 months away. No, hang on a minute. Yeah, about 4 months away from our 11th anniversary. Now, this was established because Hawk, like many here at the station, could see these times coming. The times that we're living through, it was just a case of, yeah, what mechanism are they going to use to push it through, as it were. But it was his intention to ensure that this platform existed and was there for people, for the purpose of mentally equipping listeners with the tools they needed to construct their own methods or vehicles for navigating their ways through the times we are living through, and to do so as fearlessly and as self-sufficiently as possible. Now, everybody has a different way of getting through life, so that's why it's just equipping as opposed to. Everybody has their ways of getting through these things. And we miss him every single day. His name was Mike Ringley. Know and love him as Nighthawk. And always will. Big, big thank you to Hawk. And also, as I always will as well at the start of every single show, and I'm looking at his photographs, I say there's huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs and kisses to my late other half, Briarios, who continues to represent so, so much to my life and always will. For any new listeners who are listening and you're wondering who Briarios is, Briarios was my partner in life for almost 10 years. We were 6 days short of our 10th anniversary when he died. And he was also a manager here at the station, a moderator, and my co-host of Willow's World and the Round Table. So if you're wondering who Briarios is, that's who he is. And always will be. Huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs to Briarios, and also huge outpourings of gratitude and lots of love and hugs and kisses to some very, very, very special loved ones in my life. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly who they are. Beautiful souls. Every single one of them. And to Azimuth, an individual who understands the strange paradox that is Willow, sometimes I think a little bit irritated by it, but in the main, good-natured. An amazing individual too. Thank you for being you. And to the musician as well. I don't know if you're listening, but I love you and miss you. Huge outpourings of gratitude to you amazing listeners too. We do this for you. We wouldn't be able to do this without you either, folks. Totally, totally symbiotic relationship indeed. It is down to your kindness, your love, your support, your generosity that we are able to do what we do. To provide you with a wealth of shows covering over an amazing variety of topics, hosted by individuals located all around the world, and to do so on a commercial-free basis. The only promotions you hear here at the station are to do with the station itself, shows, business. And it is your kindness and your generosity and your support that enables us to do this. We are immensely, immensely grateful to you all. Your continued support, especially through these challenging times, and they have been challenging times, and they are continuing to be challenging times for so many. The effects that this shared collective experience has had on individuals has been quite frightening to observe. And frightening to experience. And some have lost so many. You are continuing to support us through these times. and we are immensely grateful to you all for your continued support. Give yourselves a big pat on the back for that. If you don't, I'll do it. Big, big thank you to you all. Now, we are entirely listener supporters, as I've just mentioned, and if you'd like to support us, you can reach the station's website using one of two URLs. It's either www.revolution.radio, that's www.revolution.radio, or www.freedomslips.com, that's www.freedomslips.com. Oh, let's come up with that again, because I'm using a different browser now. Okay, notes myself. What's it done that for? Oh, yes, that's why. And as I say, you'll arrive at this amazing website of ours, which has been established and has been lovingly maintained and radically redecorated, if you haven't visited for a while, by the amazing Monster 383. And as I say, if you see him in the chat room, say a big thank you to him, because it is a fabulous site. It really is. It's gorgeous. And the places you need to explore are to be found on the nav bar, which remains at the top of the main homepage as you scroll down. So if you want to go somewhere a little bit quicker, then you just click on the appropriate thing you're interested in. And the first place you need to explore is the store. Indeedy, that's Fifth Along. And I'm just about to do that, because sometimes there's offers, folks. Thank you very much. Thank you. But thank you for asking. Just checking to see if there's any offers. Yeah, there's 15% off all the items on in the station's Zazzle store today, folks. 15% off. That's 15% off. So it's probably a good day to go in, browse the virtual shelves, bag yourself a bargain. You'll be helping out the station as well as treating yourself to something really lovely. And let's say the items got hawks and painters, fantastic designs on them. So well worth checking it out today, folks. Sixth Along, penultimate, is donations. You click on that, it shows you all the ways you can support the station, bar two methods. I've just mentioned one of them. And the top three are Patreon, Donor Box, and Direct Payment North America only. That's Patreon, Donor Box, and Direct Payment North America only. Now, what are they all doing, you're wondering? Well, Patreon, yep, you can support us on a monthly basis using Patreon. And again, a big thank you to all our patrons, by the way. You lovely, lovely people. And you need to be a patron in order to support us on a monthly basis. So, and also, we've got a Patreon page, so it's also a good idea to become a patron if you want to have a look at that as well. That's the only way you can look at it, I think. And you click on Patreon on here, or it's available on the main homepage as well. You'll open up in a different tab and you do what you need to do. Now, Donor Box is the alternative to PayPal. It's international in scope, easy to use. You've got a monthly support option available there. You can set it up to do something regularly, or you can use it whenever you wish. If you have a credit or debit card and live in the US or Canada, then Direct Payment North America only is also suitable for you. And that it has the same options available as with Donor Box. We accept three different types of cryptocurrency support, folks, and they are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. That's Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. QR codes are on the screen. Point your devices at them and do your thing. That is about as technical as I'm not going any more technical than that, folks. Scramble what's little left of my brain, I think. A couple of tech days I've had. God. Last but not least, the snail mail options, folks. We still accept checks or money orders, and they are to be made payable to Revolution Radio. That's two separate words. Revolution spelled R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. I'll repeat that. R-E-V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. And radio is spelled R-A-D-I-O. I'll repeat that. R-A-D-I-O. And then they are to be mailed to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman. Terry spelled T-E-R-R-Y. I'll repeat that. T-E-R-R-Y. And Ackerman is spelled A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. I'll repeat that as well. A-C-K-E-R-M-A-N. And the mailing address is 1793. That's 1793 North Eden. Eden spelled E-D-O-N Road. And that's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Michigan, M-I, 49227. notes, checks or money orders made payable to Revolution Radio are then to be mailed to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman, at 1793 North Eden Road, Allen, Michigan, 49227. Those details are also available on the main homepage. I'm returning there right now. And to explore. I've worked out what the differences are, by the way. If you use the count is different for each URL. So I found that out earlier on. Oh, I'll have a look at that. Oh, okay. So probably the true representation now, the amount of views we've had for the website altogether, have surpassed the 300,000 mark. But for the www.revolution.radio, this is the existing count, by the way, because before the radical redex that the lovely monster did, the count had well surpassed 600,000 at that point. So I would say now we're probably closer to 1 million if we haven't surpassed that in true representative terms. But this one says 225,188. Thank you. But yeah, we get a lot of people visiting our website, folks. So you can advertise on the station's website as well. $25 a month. And for further details on how to do that, you need to contact the station's general manager, Amad Painter, using the following email address, which is themadpainter13@yahoo.com. That's themadpainter13@yahoo.com. I'll spell out that first segment for you. themadpainter13. And I'll repeat it. themadpainter13@yahoo.com. All lowercase, by the way. And don't forget we've got dedicated call to listen numbers for both studios, folks. Before you call either one of them, contact your cell phone or landline service providers. Check those costs with them first. It's imperative you do that. Don't want you getting any nasty shocks at all on your bills. Call them first. Once you're happy with what you've been told, the dedicated call to listen number for Studio A is 518-906-1839. That's 518-906-1839. And the dedicated call to listen number for Studio B is 518-906-1859. That's 518-906-1859. Last but not least, the archives, folks. Free to access will be for the foreseeable. You can reach them either by clicking on the archives option, which is third along on the nav bar, or going direct to its URL, which is www.revolutionradioarchives.com. That's www.revolutionradioarchives.com. And details you need once you get there are the username and the password, both of which are lowercase and case sensitive in format. The username is Rev Radio. I'll repeat that, Rev Radio, and I'm going to spell it REVRADIO. And I'm going to re-spell it, which is REVRADIO. And the password is ROCKS exclamation mark. That's ROCKS exclamation mark. I'll spell it for you. ROCKS exclamation mark. And I'm going to repeat it. ROCKS exclamation mark. Don't forget that exclamation mark, folks, because without it, you won't get in. Yeah, big, big thank you to everybody for your continued support indeed. Thank you very, very much for being you. You lovely people. Thank you. So, what's happening on today's show? Well, I'm going to be wandering into the chat room shortly to say a big hello to everybody in the chat room. And then, first hour, as always, we'll be focusing on both the day's geek and global headlines. So, I'm wandering over to the Nexus of Nerdom. This is IO9 Gizmode over their day's morning spoilers, the geek headlines, and then wandering east to Mother Russia for the day's global headlines from Russia today. And there's a lot going on. Goodness gracious, there's a lot going on. So, second hour heralds the opening of the doors for sultry snuggery that is Willow's Poetry Corner and returns to the worlds of 20th and 21st century American poetry for a study of one of its most vocal of literary talents. Born in 1936, she was born into a working class family at the end of the Great Depression and was the first member of her family to attend university. She graduated from the University of Michigan in 1957 with a Bachelor of Arts degree, attaining her Master's of Arts from Northwestern University a year later. She became involved in social and political activism from a young age, her beliefs and experiences frequently referenced within her literary works. She was the organizer for the Students for a Democratic Society organization during the late 1960s, and during the late 1970s became an associate of the Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press. Her notable works include a narrative poetic commentary on feminine issues from 1971 called Barbie Doll, and her science fiction masterpiece from 1976. And indeed, William Gibson rates this one as well. Now, William Gibson was a favourite author of Breyer's. I've got a few William Gibson books here I've got to read through, actually. It's a few of his ones. I've got to make a start on them. I have to. So much to read, so little time. But yeah, this particular science fiction masterpiece of this poet's was Woman on the Edge of Time. She was born in Detroit, Michigan, and her name is Marge Piercy. The remainder of the show sees us dashing across the twilight-tinged lawn and entering the Bijou booth at his Willows Observatory. Now, the first of today's four articles commences with an exploration of how quasar variabilities are helping scientists to determine the masses of black holes. Second article heads to our Martian neighbour to learn more about recent research suggesting that the formation of the planet's Gale crater may have been aided by meteorological factors. The third article travels a little further afield to study the fascinating composition of Saturn's fuzzy core. That's how it's described, by the way. And the final article concludes our astronomical adventures with a glance at the upcoming celestial spectacle that will result from the conjunction of the Sun, Earth and Jupiter on August the 20th. So tomorrow, actually. Unless you live in the UK, in which case, fat chance. You know, this is what happens, you know, you live in the UK. Did you see that eclipse? Nope. Why? Clouds. Loads of them. Always. But anyway, I'm going to go into the chat room now to say a big hello to everybody in there. Make sure everybody's okay. Who's in there? Who is in there? Let's see. Memes is in the chat room as well as L. L. Hi, L. Hi, Memes. Comet is in there as well as Just Me. Joanne is in as well as Mona. Of course, Mona is over the other side of the studio wall at the moment with today's Adventures of a Feral Hippie. Dr. Memjing is in as well. Good to see him. And one of our fabulous hosts, Eagle Flower, is in the chat room as well. She hosts the Conversation with Eagle Flower show on Wednesdays on this studio at 4 p.m. Eastern. Walter Mauser is in the chat room as well as Blessing. Blessing, of course, will be starting her show Z to Infinity again. In about, looking at it now, just under 2 weeks. I'll tell you more details about that at the time. The Amazing Monster 383 is in the chat room, who's a lovely manager here at the station. And Malia is in, as well as Batsman, the station's GM, AMAD. Of course, Painter is in the chat room. He has two offerings here on Studio A. Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern. That's a mad look at reality. And he rounds off the evening here on Monday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern with an open canvas. Lover is in the chat room as well. Hello, Lover. Like it. Succinct. I like it. Did I say Batsman? Yeah, I did say Batsman, didn't I? Hi, Batsman. I've got to get this one right. Pleasant Pheasant Plucker 2 is in, as well as another fabulous host of ours, Extreme Prejudice, otherwise known as Mechanic, who has, I've got to get this, you've got so many round tables, Mechanic, I've got to try to remember them all. he's on the Mondays at 2 a.m. Eastern here on Studio A, open round table, also hosts the High Council round table at midnight, earlier in the day on Thursday, and he'll be on after me today as well at 4 p.m. Eastern with the Common Denominator. And let's see who else is in. Athrenis 1 is in, and Tremjar is in, as well as Mitzi Lou. Dryer Rain is in. Is there such a thing as that? I don't know. Another fabulous manager in the chat room is Pat Rabbit. Of course, Patrick has just been on before me with Not for Public Consumption. And Choppy Water is in, as well as Cat Dog Girl. Some weird person by the name of Sorry Sunflower is in there, as well as Dry Fly Guy. Wally is in as well as Dirt. The station's very own time traveler, Doc Who, is in there, as well as Boy Solomon. Gino2013 is in, as well as Mace139. The voice of the overnights, the weekend, and sometimes during the week as well. Gerbear is in, as well as the Right Reverend Dr. Mr. Rowe, who, of course, is a manager here at the station and has three offerings on Studio A. Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern is the Row Lounge. two 4 p.m. offerings. Mondays is Crypto Corner. Tuesdays is Rose Corner. He's on a little bit later this evening on Studio B at 8 p.m. Eastern with Reality Extraction. Pops up everywhere, does Rose. Nessamania is in as well as In the Kitchen. Popsicle Toes is in as well. Let's see who else has been in. Jim Bob's been in as well. Tada has been in as well as Basement 5. Bad Deeper has been in as well as others. Very good. And Dirt Engineer has been in as well as Noreen. Noreen, of course, is one of our fabulous hosts, and she hosts the Wild at Heart Roundtable, Singing in the Day, on Tuesdays at midnight Eastern on Studio A. I did say that, didn't I? But if you want to come in and join us, folks, please do. It'd be good to see you. The more, the merrier. So, time for the geek headlines, folks. And I'm running, gosh, good grief. Is that the time? Blimey. Time for the geek headlines, folks. Let's get on with it quickly. There's a lot going on today. That's probably what it is. So we're heading over to IO9 Gizmodo for their day's morning spoilers. Compiled, as always, by James Whitbrook and Gordon Jackson. Posted up today. And it's headlined, Could Another Spider-Man Alan Be in Venom? Let There Be Carnage? Plus James Wan talks Aquaman 2 influences and Riverdale deals with a chainsaw-wielding murderer, as Riverdale does. Manifest could survive cancellation after all. Get a new look at the terror of Candyman. Fort Salem's finale teases a climactic war to come. Plus new glimpses of what's next for Stargirl and what we do in the shadows. Spoilers now. So we start with Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So View Theatres lists J.K. Simmons as a member of the impressive cast of Venom, Let There Be Carnage, appearing to suggest his J. Jonah Jameson makes an appearance. Meanwhile, a new THR report suggests Sony may once again push back the film's theatrical release date in light of ongoing COVID-19 concerns. Aquaman 2 is next. In a recent interview with Total Film via Games Radar, James Wan stated Aquaman 2 is heavily inspired by Mario Bava's rare foray into science fiction, 1965's Planet of the Vampires. Gosh, I remember that. So here's a quote. Aquaman 2 is very heavily inspired by Planet of the Vampires. You can take the boy out of horror, but you can never take the horror out of the boy. Bad Candy is next. So here's a new trailer for Bad Candy, the Halloween-set horror anthology starring Gremlins' Zach Galligan and Slipknot's Corey Taylor, available on demand September 14th. Broadcast Signal Intrusion is next. So Harry Shum Jr. unravels a mystery related to a creepy pirate television interruption in the trailer for Broadcast Intrusion, coming to VOD October 22nd. Candyman is next. So teenagers summon the Candyman with predictable results in a brand new clip. Squad is next. So THR reports Maggie Tokuda Hall and Lisa Stirl's yet to be released graphic novel Squad is now in development as a TV series at Picture Start and Lionsgate Television. The story follows Becca, a new girl in school who realizes the girls in the popular clique are not just girls, also werewolves that feast on budding sexual predators. Since she now knows their secret, the young woman is faced with a decision. Join the pack or else, wrestling her sense of morality and asking herself just who are the real monsters. Next is Manifest. So according to Deadline, Warner Brothers TV is in the home stretch of complex negotiations with Netflix for a fourth season Order of Manifest. She-Hulk is next. So filming is wrapped on She-Hulk, according to stunt coordinator Monique Ganderton. In an Instagram story screen capped by comic book. Stargirl's next. So comic book has a pair of photos revealing Tigress and Sportsmaster's unexpected return in the fourth episode of Stargirl's second season. There's some pictures there. Creepshow is next. So Bloody Disgusting also has our first look at Creepshow's third season. Indeedy. There's some images there if you're interested. What We Do in the Shadows is next. So additionally, Bloody Disgusting has images from the first two episodes of What We Do in the Shadows third season. There's lots of them as well. Riverdale. Betty faces off against a chainsaw-wielding maniac with ties to a dog-biting ring. In the trailer for next week's episode of Riverdale, which is called Reservoir Dogs. And finally, it's Motherland, Fort Salem. So war comes to Fort Salem in the trailer for next week's season finale, Revolution Part 1. So I'll just share that one there in the chat room for you. There we go. So we're now going to head over to Russia today for today's global headlines. Don't really have time for Kotaku. Russia Today, we are currently looking at for the day's global headlines. And we start off with the world news section. Main headline from the world news section is Apple's new child safety features face fresh challenges over censorship and privacy from over 90 rights groups. So Apple's controversial plan to scan user photos and conversations for child sexual abuse material faces renewed criticism after rights groups warned it would censor protected speech, threaten privacy and endanger children. Son of anti-Soviet Mujahideen, a commander, pleads for US to supply weapons and ammo against Taliban. So Ahmad Massoud, whose father was a leading figure in the US-backed anti-Soviet insurgency in Afghanistan, wants from Washington what his dad had. Weapons from war against the Taliban. COVID deaths in Iran climb above 100,000 as Delta variant fuels fifth wave. So the Iranian Health Ministry announced on Thursday that the country had surpassed the tragic milestone of 100,000 COVID deaths despite the recent implementation of tighter restrictions amid a fifth wave of infections. Protests against the Taliban spread to Kabul as people march along the streets with Afghan flags. So videos have emerged from Kabul of civilians, including women and children, taking to the streets to protest against the rule of the Taliban and to celebrate Afghanistan's Independence Day. The Catalan court ends Barcelona's nightly COVID curfew after rejecting government's attempt to lower criteria. So the Catalan High Court ended the COVID curfew in Barcelona on Thursday, denying the government's attempt to lower the incidence rate required to enforce the measure and extend the restriction in the region's capital. I may look at that one, I don't know yet. EU says import of J&J COVID-19 vaccines from Africa is only temporary after World Health Organization boss stunned by news. So a spokesperson for the European Commission has said that a deal to import Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines from South Africa is only temporary amid concern that the EU is depriving Africans of crucial shots. Taliban's return to power in Afghanistan is moral victory of Islamism over the West, says top Merkel ally. So Bavaria's minister-president and key ally of German Chancellor Angela Merkel said the Taliban's comeback in Afghanistan is a devastating blow to Western countries' war on religious extremism. And Taliban more sober and rational than last time, says China. So the Chinese Foreign Ministry has reiterated its willingness to respect the national sovereignty of Afghanistan and maintain relations with the Taliban. Describing the Islamist group as more sober and rational than last time. Melbourne enters 200th day of lockdown as Victoria state records highest number of COVID cases during second wave. So frustrated Melbourne residents have entered a 200th day of lockdown since the start of the pandemic, as the city records the highest number of daily cases in Victoria during COVID's second wave. Well, evidently the lockdowns are working well then, aren't they? At least 3 killed, 50 injured as grenade thrown at religious procession in Punjab, Pakistan. So an explosion has rocked a Shia Muslim procession in Bawalnagar. Pakistan on one of Islam's holiest days, killing 3 and injuring 50, according to reports, with the attacker allegedly detained by police. And the people of China have spoken, so Beijing urges release of Huawei executive as 6 million petition Canada to drop extradition case. So the Chinese Foreign Ministry has urged Ottawa to release Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou as a detention nears 1,000 days. And 6 million netizens petitioned Canada to drop an extradition case that would see her sent to the US. Now, which two am I going to be looking at? Catalan court ending. I try not to cover too much about the virus on this show, but I'm going to be looking at the Catalan court ending Barcelona's nightly COVID curfew. And the next one I'm going to be looking at as well is what's happened in Pakistan. So, heading to Spain for this one. So, the Catalan High Court ended the COVID curfew in Barcelona on Thursday denying the government's attempt to lower the incidence rate required to enforce the measure and extend the restriction in the region's capital. Catalan government have petitioned the court to extend the curfews currently in place in 148 municipalities, lowering the incidence rate required to apply the measure from 400 cases per 100,000 in the past 7 days to just 250 infections per 100,000. However, magistrates ruled the previous rate must be maintained, only authorising extensions in 19 municipalities. Catalonia's capital, Barcelona, will now have its curfew lifted following the court's ruling, although some restrictions, including limits on social gatherings and religious meetings, will remain in place. Officials in Catalonia had reimposed the nightly curfew, running from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. back in July amid a steep increase in COVID infections, fueled by the spread of a highly transmissible Delta variant. At the time, the court, which must approve any curfew, agreed that very painful epidemiological data showed that without restrictions, the area will be left in a bad place. Since the pandemic began, 878,507 confirmed cases of COVID have been identified in Catalonia, with 23,161 fatalities from the virus. The number of weekly infections reported has continued to fall since the start of August. The past seven-day figure, ending on August 15th, showing only 11,588 new infections in the region. So I'll just copy and paste that and put it in the chat room for you. So we're going to have a look at what's happened in Pakistan. So an explosion has rocked a Shia Muslim procession in Bawalnagar, Pakistan, on one of Islam's holiest days, killing 3 and injuring 50, according to reports of the attacker allegedly detained by police. Thursday, the procession in Bawalnagar, marking the day of Ashura, a significant date in the Muslim calendar, was the target of a grenade attack. Media reports differ, although it is believed that at least 3 died in the attack, and a further 50 were injured. Video shared on social media show a scene of devastation, with police and emergency service personnel rushing to secure the area and provide care. Indeed, there's footage available for people to look at. Kawar Shavkat, a local Shia leader, told the Associated Press that the attack had taken place as the procession was passing through the city's Muhajir Colony neighbourhood. Media reports suggest that the perpetrator was detained by police. A video shared online appears to show a topless man covered in blood and with his hands chained together in police custody. Police in the city, which sits in the east and of the Punjab province, confirmed the incident. Witnesses claim that tensions are boiling over in the city, with the Shia population protesting the attack and demanding retribution. Authorities cut mobile phone services on Wednesday ahead of the Ashura festival, making communication a challenge. Now, why would they do that? Why would they cut phone services ahead of the festival? Interesting. Ashura is one of the holiest days in the Muslim calendar, as followers of Shia Islam commemorate the death of Husayn ibn Ali, the grandson of the Islamic prophet Muhammad, the Battle of Karbala. Shia Muslims are a minority in Pakistan, where they are viewed with disdain by many hardliner Sunni extremists. So I'll just share that one there in the chat room. So let's have a look at the US news now. So the main headline on the USA news section of Russia Today is active bomb threat investigation. So evacuations on Capitol Hill after driver claimed to have explosives in truck. So U.S. Capitol Police evacuated an area around the Library of Congress on Capitol Hill after a driver pulled up outside and claimed to have a bomb in his pickup truck, the police chief said. He has since surrendered to officers. Pentagon does not know how many Americans are still in Afghanistan or how many were among the 7,000 evacuated so far. So the U.S. military has no idea how many Americans remain in Afghanistan, or even how many were among the 7,000 or so people that have been evacuated by the Kabul airport so far, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told reporters. Anti-war activists mock CNN as it cries over $1 trillion worth of desperately needed minerals left behind in Afghanistan. So CNN has been hit with a wave of anti-war sentiment after publishing a curious piece highlighting the $1 trillion worth of minerals in Afghanistan being left behind that the world desperately needs. Well, wonder what that is then. Washington Post accused of providing PR to Taliban after arguing group incites less violence than Trump on Twitter. So the Washington Post has come under fire after publishing an article insinuating that the Taliban hasn't been banned from Twitter like former President Donald Trump because it incites less violence in its carefully worded posts. This is the woke way. Kickstarter hires comics creator liaison, who is accused of mass blocking comic creators on Twitter. So indie comics creators have accused Kickstarter's newly hired outreach employee of blocking them en masse on Twitter. They wonder if convincing people to use the platform to crowdfund their projects is her primary concern. And yeah, DC bomb suspect claims explosives laden truck is one of five, warns detonation could destroy city blocks in live stream. So a man who claims to have an explosive device that could destroy multiple city blocks near the Library of Congress in Washington since surrender, DC, has directly addressed President Joe Biden in a live stream that has since been taken down. A man whose home was raided by FBI says he was just joking with memes when he threatened to firebomb Israeli embassy. A young internet troll has had his home raided by the FBI after he declared his intention to firebomb the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. Now he claims it was posted as a joke that went too far. And New York police evacuate some areas of Times Square due to suspicious package amid bomb threat situation in Washington, D.C. New York City's Times Square has been partially evacuated after a mysterious container was thrown at folks enjoying the area's famous Red Steps, popular among tourists. The areas were later reopened after no threat was found. Chaos was inevitable. Biden shrugs off shock scenes of Afghans falling from US plane because that was 5 days ago. So US President Joe Biden defended his handling of the Afghanistan withdrawal, telling ABC News that it couldn't have gone any other way, and vowing to keep troops in Kabul until all Americans who want to leave can do so. And Biden urges all fully vaccinated US adults to get booster jabs after CDC and FDA says immunity wanes over time. So US President Joe Biden called on all adults in the country to receive vaccine booster shots, saying a third dose will give better protection against COVID-19 after health officials warn that the jabs are losing effectiveness. And thousands evacuated as Northern California blaze triples in size in 24 hours and destroys dozens of homes. So thousands are evacuating from Northern California as the Caldor fire has charred nearly 50,000 acres and destroyed dozens of homes. And officials are warning of conditions creating a perfect combination for it to spread further. So, yeah, I'll be looking at that one, what's happening in Northern California. And I think I'm going to be looking at the anti-war activist mocking CNN first. Let's have a look, shall we? What's this all about? So CNN has been hit with a wave of anti-war sentiment after publishing a curious piece highlighting the $1 trillion worth of minerals in Afghanistan being left behind that the world desperately needs. When the US finishes its exit from the country after 20 years, will be leaving behind valuable untapped mineral deposits worth $1 trillion, according to US military officials and geologists in 2010. Minerals such as iron, copper, gold and lithium are found in huge quantities there and have remained mostly untouched due to the unstable state of the nation, something that doesn't look to be changing as the US continues its chaotic exit from the country amid a Taliban takeover. Afghanistan is certainly one of the regions richest in traditional precious metals, but also the metals needed for the emerging economy of the 21st century. Rod Schoonover, a scientist and security expert who founded the Ecological Futures Group, told the outlet about the deposits. The argument is resources like lithium are rare and heavily used in renewable batteries and electric car production. CNN reporter Julia Horowitz briefly floated the idea that countries like China may find a way to negotiate with the Taliban for these resources, but acknowledged that this was highly unlikely, considering the continued security and stability risks in the country. The piece and its brash headline were quickly torn to pieces on social media, instigating accusations that the network was essentially making an argument for continued military presence, even reinvasion, of a country that the US has occupied for two decades. all in the name of taking resources the network claims we desperately need. Okay, let me think. Yes, batteries. We need to liberate the oppressed lithium for our rechargeable batteries. Would no one think of the poor tech companies? Activist Asfandiya Bitani commented. Call me a cynical, but it's almost as if CNN are trying to justify an invasion and exploitation of Afghanistan to extract said rare minerals. Because, you know, that worked well last time, pundit Kevin Creer added. Yeah, plenty of tweets about it, folks. So President Joe Biden's withdrawal effort from Afghanistan has come under heavy scrutiny from both sides of the political aisle, many accusing the administration of moving forward without a proper plan in place to evacuate American citizens and military allies amid the Taliban takeover. Biden claimed in an interview this week that US troops will remain in the capital city of Kabul until all Americans who want to escape can do so. He admitted, however, there has been more difficulty with the Taliban in evacuating those who helped us in the military conflict there. So I should just put that one in the chat room as well. There we go. And yeah, we're going to have a look at the wildfires in California next. So thousands are evacuating from Northern California as the Caldor fire has charred nearly 50,000 acres and destroyed dozens of homes. Officials are warning of conditions creating a perfect combination for it to spread further. The Caldor fire continues to experience unprecedented fire behavior and growth due to extremely dry fuels pushed by the southwest winds. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, or CAL FIRE, said it of the El Dorado County blaze. In their latest update on fighting the fire, the official said a red flag warning has been extended through tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service. Red flag warnings are issued for weather events which may result in extreme fire behavior that will occur within 24 hours. The red flag warning, yes, has been extended. Dry conditions and wind have created a perfect combination for the fire to spread, Chief Daniel Ballant told reporters on Wednesday. The satellite video posted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration shows the quick growth of the fire. Indeed, yeah, there is a graphic available for people to view. So fire officials said the fire grew 47,200 acres in just 24 hours. Governor Gavin Newsom previously declared a state of emergency in El Dorado County in response to the growing flames. Evacuation orders for numerous areas like Grizzly Flat, Perry Creek and Hawk Haven have been issued as the fire has spread and destroyed property, including dozens of homes, an elementary school, a post office, and multiple other buildings, according to officials. At least two people have been injured, both having to be airlifted to hospitals. Some of the images are horrendous. Thousands have already been evacuated, according to a Wednesday update from State Emergency Services. The fire began on Saturday, but the origins remain unknown. Many have been taking to social media to post the destruction the fire has left in areas and the conditions in highly affected areas, such as Mormon Emigrant Trail. Oh, it's absolutely people trying to drive down roads and they can barely see. The fire has led to the emergency closure of the El Dorado National Forest through the end of September. So, where if you're nearby, folks, I hope you are safe. I hope you're safe. And I'm going to have a quick look now at the UK news. I should have time to have a look at something on here. So UK Foreign Minister accused of dereliction of duty. This is the main headline on UK news. After not making urgent call to help airlift Afghan translators, says reports. So British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab is facing calls to resign after news reports of his failure to make a crucial phone call about the airlift of Afghan interpreters who aided UK troops ahead of the Taliban's push into Kabul. An outrageous London's Violence Against Women and Girls board chair says she was sacked over concerns about trans access to refuges. Co-chair of London's Violence Against Women and Girls board has been sacked by the mayor's office after expressing concern about allowing trans women to use refuge centres for victims of rape and domestic abuse. The Welsh government blasted over catastrophic record NHS waiting lists as COVID pandemic exacerbates delays to hospital treatment. The NHS in Wales has reported record long waiting lists for non-urgent treatment, as the number of people who have had their medical care delayed reached almost 625,000 in June, the latest month for which data is available. Is it anti-vax to be concerned? A magazine editor reports changes to period after COVID jab, the latest in over 30,000 UK women. So at least 30,304 British women have disclosed changes to their menstrual cycle after getting vaccinated against COVID-19. An editor for The Spectator is one of the most recently affected and says many more are afraid to come out. A former UK MP charged with 7 counts of fraud over allegedly false parliamentary invoices. So a former British Labour MP has been charged by the Crown Prosecution Service with 7 counts of fraud by false representation over the filing of fake invoices to the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority. Oxford University study claims that its AstraZeneca COVID vaccine's effectiveness declined slower than Pfizer competitor. So the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine's protection against COVID declines faster than its Oxford-AstraZeneca competitor, with both less effective against the Delta variant, according to an Oxford University study released on Thursday. UK citizens set to be deported from Singapore after being handed prison sentence for refusing to wear a mask. Singapore Prison Service announced on Thursday that 40-year-old Brit Benjamin Glynn will be deported after being sentenced to 6 weeks in jail for 4 charges of failing to wear a mask in line with COVID restrictions. UK government owes British people an explanation after Afghanistan disaster, Jeremy Corbyn tells RT. During an anti-war protest in London, Corbyn, now an independent MP, said he wants the government to show they can learn foreign policy lessons. And Labour Party leader Keir Starmer says invasion of Afghanistan brought stability and reduced terrorist threat. UK Labour Party leader Keir Starmer argued in Parliament on Wednesday that the invasion of Afghanistan brought stability to the region and reduced the threat of terrorism in the West, days after the Taliban took over Kabul. And redeploying thousands of troops to Afghanistan is not an option, UK PM Johnson says. British Prime Minister says there is no appetite to take the UK back into Afghanistan after 20 years of allied operations in the country were undone by a month-long Taliban offensive. And country boys who respect tribal ways. A UK Army chief calls on countries to give Taliban space to show their credentials. The UK's chief of the defence staff has called for nations to give the country boys from the Taliban space to form a government, saying his assessment is that this group is more reasonable and less repressive. Right, which ones am I going to be looking at? I think I'm going to look at the... Is it anti-vax to be concerned? Article. If I've got a chance to read a second one, I will do, but at least 30,304 British women have disclosed changes to their menstrual cycle after getting vaccinated against COVID-19. An editor for The Spectator is one of the most recently affected, and says many more are afraid to come out. Lara Prendergast, an executive editor at London Spectator magazine, raised some concerning questions in a column on Thursday after reporting that she had been affected since receiving her first Pfizer dose in May. Noting that it is an uncomfortable and sensitive topic to discuss, indicating that the true number of women with period-related vaccine side effects could be far greater than the 30,304 documented, Prendergast revealed that her cycle has not been right since she was vaccinated 4 months ago. Millions of British women have been jabbed, so 30,304 reports will be a tiny proportion, a negligible number, you might say. But it doesn't seem negligible if you're one of those women, she wrote, adding that friends have told her they've also been affected, but didn't report it either due to the topic being both awkward and sensitive, and because of fears of being branded an anti-vaxxer. Is it anti-vax to be concerned these jabs may be having an effect on our menstrual cycles? Prendergast questioned, before claiming that a women's health doctor had told her that it is not exactly normal for vaccines to affect periods in such a way. Prendergast also expressed concern that if the jabs are affecting so many women's periods, who knows what else might be going on, noting that millions of women can only hope and trust that the medical officials and influencers who are pushing for young women to get vaccinated are right about the allegedly low risks involved. Though she acknowledged that officials such as Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, President Dr. Edward Morris, have assured women that it would be impossible for the vaccines to affect a woman's fertility, Prendergast pointed out that most women do associate their periods with their fertility, and that side effects are thus extremely alarming to those who are experiencing them. A month after my second jab, I make a note that my latest cycle is messed up once again, she concluded in the column. The UK's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has advised concerned women that menstrual issues are mostly transient in nature and that there is no evidence to suggest that COVID-19 vaccines will affect fertility and the ability to have children. RCOG Vice President Dr. Jo Mountfield has also said that though changes to periods can be concerning, it appears most women's menstrual cycles return to normal after 1 to 2 cycles. Menstrual cycle changes do not appear on the list of side effects given to Brits before they receive a COVID-19 vaccine in the UK. It's on the British gov.uk website, as far as I remember, but I'll have to check again. UK government announced on Monday that the MHRA was reviewing suspected side effects of menstrual disorders and unexpected vaginal bleeding following vaccination against COVID-19 in the UK. So, there we go, folks. I'll share that one there in the chat room for you. And, yeah. Go get yourself a cup of tea, cup of coffee, folks, because after the break, I'll be opening up the doors to the sultry, snowy, religious Willows Poetry Corner. And then we'll be going to the observatory. So, see you after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Afternoon and welcome. Oh, I echoed back at myself then. Oh, that's always a bit, I can hear myself. Anyway, welcome back to the second hour of the Thursday, the 19th of August, 2021 edition of Willow's World. My name is Willow Andreasen, also known as Sari Sunflower, in the Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com chat room. And it's just turned 8 o'clock in the evening over here in the UK, which means it's just turned 3 o'clock in the afternoon over on the East Coast, 2 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon Mountain Time, and it's just turned midday over on the West Coast. And in Australia, it's around about 4 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's about 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning in New Zealand. But wherever you are in the world, I hope that life is being reasonably kind to you amidst the ongoing lockdown lunacies. And yes, indeed, I call it that. And with ever draconian measures being forced upon individuals around the world. Some really horrendous stories coming out about tyrannical acts, but absolutely horrendous indeed. And what is happening to humanity as a whole is just heartbreaking. But as I say at this point in every single show of mine, might vary a bit at the weekend, but certainly during the weekday shows, that it is imperative to retain a sense of humour, to remember that there is much beauty to behold around you, to ensure that spark of inner joy remains ignited, which is a challenge when life is throwing challenge after challenge after challenge at you. And you're never sure when that rug's going to be pulled away from underneath your feet again. It's very, very difficult indeed, very challenging. But it is essential to retain that spark of inner joy gently and within your ability to do so. And being creative is a fabulous way to do that. I say, whether it's getting that old art set out and channeling your inner Bob Ross, taking the sketch sketch pad and pencils out and just sketching a local landmark or something like that. You could even set up your own sort of still life, sort of bowl of fruit or something on the windowsill. Cookery is also creating, you know. Cookery is also creating. You're creating something rather delicious out of different ingredients in a kitchen. Also very tactile as well. Get out in that, into that kitchen, open up that recipe book, read through if you want to, or just do a random sort of selection. Say a good way to do that is making sure your finger is over the page, shut your eyes, where your finger lands is where is the recipe you're going to try. If you're inspired by the literature section of this show and the weekend show, and you think, you know what, I could write a novel. Well, if you've got a laptop or you've got a keyboard and monitor, and you do it. You don't have to write chapters a day, a couple of paragraphs a day, and believe me, I know that because I've done it. A couple of chapters a day, and you will soon get a couple of paragraphs a day, and you'll soon get a chapter, folks. Self-publishing is very easy nowadays, too. After you've edited it and everything first, you know. Making sure the pagination is all correct and other things. The poetry as well, if you're inspired by that. Have a go at writing your own. Have a go at writing your own. I'd love to see it. Nature. Connecting with nature, also a very important way of keeping that inner spark of joy ignited. It doesn't really matter what season it is, summer, autumn, winter, spring. There is still much to be savoured at any time of the year. If you think, you know, winter is bleak, no, it isn't. Those trees are still majestic when you walk through woods, you know, even without their canopy of leaves. There's something quite visceral about looking upwards to the sky and watching these bare trunks just reaching into the sky. Go through a walk through the park. Got national parks nearby or any land you can walk around like that, just go there. If you can't do that, if you've got a garden, just go and sit in your garden. Do something in your garden. Meditate as well. I mean, meditation in the garden is also a very good way. Oh, but he has, a painter has written, he's written a lot. I've read out one of the stories, Boy Solomon. I've narrated a couple of painters' stories. I'll do so again in an instant. If you don't have a garden, then you can, if you've got a balcony, do that. Just set, you know, get some plants going on your balcony. If you don't have a balcony, if you're apartment bound, then windowsill acts as a very good propagator as well. Get stuff growing on your windowsill, like, you know, pepper plants, spring onions, herbs, as in, you know, thyme, rosemary, that kind of herb. All sorts you can get started. And even opening the window and feeling the breeze against your skin, that's connecting with nature. Going for a walk in the rain, obviously when it's not freezing, but got an umbrella up and you're wrapped up well at a certain time of year, then also something wonderful about that. Meditation, as I just mentioned, also a fantastic way of remaining in touch with your inner self and connecting with the outer world. And those who meditate regularly will understand exactly what I'm talking about there. If your kids have finished with their modelling clay and their Play-Doh, That's another good thing you can do. Get those out. Once you've got your stresses out, you just mold them into something really beautiful. I think you can leave modeling clay to dry on the windowsill. I think you can do that. But just take gentle steps to ensure that that spark of joy within remains ignited. If it's gone out, to reignite it and keep on nurturing it until it becomes an inner flame. And then just keep on nurturing it a little bit more and it'll become an inner fire. And you know what? There's no amount of social distancing, as I say, that would dampen that. Don't give in to the fear, folks. Don't give in to the fear. Remember that there is still much beauty and light in this world. It may not seem like it, but there is. There really is. And come in and join us in the chat room, folks. Chat with us. If you feel alone, just come in and have a chat with us. Be good to see you. Now, you're listening to this weird old show of mine at the world's largest listener-supported station, which is, we are, of course, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Again, huge outpourings of gratitude to our amazing supporters. We are immensely grateful to you all for your continued support. We never take your support for granted, folks, but we appreciate the past, coming up to 18 months now, have been an immense challenge for so many people. And yet you're continuing to support us through these times. We are immensely, immensely grateful indeed. Thank you. If you'd like to support us, yeah, visit our website, folks. Best place to go, www.revolution.radio or www.freedomslips.com. Takes you to the exact same location. I've got to do this. Do. Yeah, that's the figure. Okay, I probably won't remember it. But if you go to our website, when you get there, it's an amazing website. The same monster has established it, maintains it, redecorates it. It's a fabulous place to go. Don't forget our store, folks. That's on the nav bar, fifth along. We've got 15% off items in there today, or all items in there, actually. That's 15% off everything. So today would be a good day to go in there and browse the virtual shelf. Browse the virtual shelves, even rather, and bag yourself a bargain in the process. You'd be helping out the station immensely too. Donations the next along. Well, that's all the ways bar two that you can support the station. And I've just mentioned one. Patreon, donor box, direct payment, North America only are all available. All have monthly support options available. You need to be a patron in order to do that. Supporters on a monthly basis, as well as view the station's page. So you can join on this page, or there's also an option on the main homepage as well. Donor box even is the alternative to PayPal. International in scope, easy to use. You can set up something on a monthly basis on there or use it whenever you wish. Direct payment North America only is if you've got a credit or debit card and live in the US or Canada. Same options available there as with donor box. Three different types of cryptocurrency we accept to support folks, and they are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. I'll repeat those, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Bitcoin Cash. QR codes are on the screen. Point your device at them. Do your thing. Last but not least are the snail mail details. We still accept checks and money orders, folks, and they are to be made payable to Revolution Radio. It's two separate words, REVOLUTION, and radio is spelled RADIO. Then they are to be mailed to the wonderful lady horse, Terry Ackerman. Terry spelled TERRY and Ackerman spelled ACKERMAN. And the mailing address is 1793, that's 1793 North Eden spelled EDOM Road. And that's Allen, ALLEN, Michigan, MI 49227. Those details are also available on the main homepage. And did I actually do that or not? Hang on a minute. No, I haven't yet. I've got to check the count. I've got to check the count. I just love doing it. 225,237 it is now. Thank you very much indeed, folks. Thank you. Yeah, you can advertise on the station's website, folks, for $25 a month. And for further details, you need to... Ay, 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 ay. Sorry, I'm just noticed something on it. Yeah, for $25 a month, you can advertise on the station's website. And for further details, you need to contact the station's GM, A-Man Painter. Using the following email address, which is all lowercase, by the way, in format, it's themadpainter13@yahoo.com. And I'll spell out that first segment for you. themadpainter13@yahoo.com. We've got director call to listen numbers for both studios, folks. Call your cell phone service provider or landline service providers before you call those numbers. Don't want you getting any nasty shocks on your bills. You need to check the costs first. Once you've done that and you're happy with what you're being told, the dedicated call to listen number for Studio A is 518-906-1839. And the dedicated call to listen number for Studio B is 518-906-1859. And last but not least are the archives, folks. Free to access will be for the foreseeable. And you can reach the archives either by clicking on the archives option on the nav bar or going direct to its URL, which is www.revolutionradioarchives.com. And the details you need to get in are the username and the password, both of which are lowercase and case sensitive in format. The username is Rev Radio, spelled REBRADIO, and the password is ROCKS exclamation mark. That's ROCKS exclamation mark. But don't forget those. Don't forget that exclamation mark, folks, because without it, you won't get in. But again, a big, big thank you to everyone for your continued support. We're truly grateful indeed. Thank you. So, as you can see, the doors to the poetry corner are now open. The comfy cushions are scattered liberally across the deep pile hearth rugs. The gentle summer breeze is whispering through the open windows. The scent of sandalwood is scintillating the senses, and the teas and coffees of freshly brewed the dishes of dainty delectables are available. And today's Poetry Corner is returning to the worlds of 20th and 21st century American poetry for a study of, I've never really heard of her. So sometimes I'm learning these things with you, Nuno. I mean, I dare say across the pond you've heard of Marge Piercy. I've got a couple of articles which are offering a study of Marge Piercy. If time allows, I'll also be looking at some of her poetry as well. I'm hoping I've actually got that up because I'm using a different browser right now, you see, and it's... No, I haven't. Right, okay, well, I'll sort that out. There we go. I should be able to... should be able to get that up. Hang on a minute. Where are you? Where are you? Where have you gone? Let's try that one. There you go. But I'll tell you a little bit about Marge Piercy first. I'm just making sure I've got that. Okay. Yeah, I've got it. I got it. I've got some poems. But yeah, I'll start with the opening paragraph on her Wikipedia page, which is Marge Piercy was born on March the 31st, 1936, as an American progressive activist and writer. Excuse me. Her work includes Women on the Edge of Time, He, She, and It, which won the 1993 Arthur C. Clarke Award, and Gone to Soldiers, a New York Times bestseller and sweeping historical novel set during World War II. Piercy's work is rooted in her Jewish heritage, communist social and political activism, and feminist ideals. Now, before anybody gets a little bit upset about all that, please, everybody is different. Everybody has different beliefs, everybody has different ideals. Now, the first article that I've got is from the My Poetic Side website. And it's a brief bio about her and about Marge Piercy. And then I'll be moving on to the Poetry Society of America's site for the poet's own comments about poetry. So we're going back to My Poetic Side for this one. So American writer, I hope I shared that in the chat room. Did I share that in the chat room? No, I didn't. So I'm getting used to using a new browser at the moment. I'm still sorting various things out. boom, 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 boom. Hang on. There you go. So I forgot to share that in the chat room before I shut it. So here we go. I'll just share that in the chat room first. Heading back to... No, I don't want you to open a new tab. Why are you being... I'm getting used to the new setup. So apologies for this, folks. So, yeah, from my poetic side, it's... We'll start with the bio. American writer Marge Piercy was born in 1936 in Michigan and is known for her vibrant poetry, novels, and her deep involvement in the social issues that face us today. She came from working-class Jewish roots at the tail end of the Great Depression and was the first person in her family to attend university when she won a scholarship. Marge Piercy was involved in social activism from an early age, joining political organizations and demonstrating against America's involvement in the Vietnam War in later years. She's a prolific writer, having produced 17 books of poetry, as well as novels, many of which have won her critical acclaim. Her first collection of poetry, Breaking Camp, was published in 1968, and her verse is usually noted for being intensely personal, often angry, and extremely emotional. She covers a wide range of social and environmental subjects, generally from a feminist perspective. Marge Piercy credits her mother with engendering a love of poetry and writing. When she was young, she contracted German measles and was housebound for a while, spending her time reading countless books. She married her first husband while she was at university, and they spent some time in France before separating. Piercy moved to Chicago, where she supported herself with a variety of menial jobs as she tried to work at her writing. She was also becoming heavily involved in the civil rights movement, but was conscious at the time that she appeared invisible to the outside world as a woman and as a writer. So here's an example of her poetry. So in the casket displayed on satin, she lay with the undertaker's cosmetics painted on, a turned up putty nose, dressed in a pink and white nightie. "Doesn't she look pretty?" everyone said. Consummation at last. To every woman, a happy ending. By 1962, Marge Piercy had remarried and moved to San Francisco and then to Boston. Her political activism grew, and in 1967 they moved to New York, where she became the organizer for the SDS. I mentioned who that was earlier on. So at the time, unfortunately, her health was beginning to suffer, and the SDS was splitting into warring sections that caused Piercy and her husband to leave the state. In 1971, they settled in Cape Cod, and with her health improving, Piercy began to write more prolifically. She wrote her novel Small Changes in 1973, but by 1976, her second marriage was over. She remained in Cape Cod and began to earn a degree of success. In the same year, she published Woman on the Edge of Time, which was seen as one of the first cyberpunk novels and a feminist classic. Other works flowed from her pen, including poetry collections such as The Moon is Always Female and Stone, Paper, Knife. Here's an example. Some more poetry. So The Dark Socket of the Year. The pit, the cave where the sun lies down and threatens never to rise, when despair descends softly as the snow covering all paths and choking roads. Then hawk-faced pain seized you, through you, so you fell with a sharp cry, a knife tearing a bolt of silk. My father heard the crash but paid no mind, napping after lunch. Yet, 1,500 miles north, I heard and dropped a dish. She remarried for the third and final time and still lives with her husband in Cape Cod. Her poetry reflects both her concern for social issues, her Jewish roots, and the injustice that still pervades American society today. Her last novel, Sex Wars, was published in 2005. So I'm just going to share that one there in the chat room. So we're going to have a look at her observations on writing poetry now, which was originally published in Crossroads in spring 2000. It's on the Poetry Society of America's website. And it's called On Complexity by Marge Piercy. Since for me, poems are primarily artifacts created out of sounds and silences, I respect the ability to make the surface of a poem appear simple and clear. The hardest poems to write are those that look as if they had written themselves, effortlessly, like water gliding into a basin. Poems that appear transparent. There is a poem of Lucille Clifton's, Miss Rosie, that I've often used with workshops to demonstrate how much art exists in a poem as apparently simple as that one. We look at the rhythms, the repetitions, the line breaks and line lengths. Nothing in the poem calls attention to the techniques used to create it. Instead, it appears, as I said, transparent until you look carefully and critically. I believe you can get away with a fair amount of complexity and still have the poem resonate with the listener or the reader, if the poem remains emotionally coherent, if the arc of the poem is clear. The listener or reader may not grasp the poem and its intricacies, but they will have a direct knowledge of it, an understanding that is emotional and tactile, rather than intellectual, although the intellect may also be seduced into involvement. Any piece of writing is a seduction. You want the reader to read your particular work and not the one before it in the zine, and not the one after it, or at least not until after the reader has absorbed yours. You use your title to grab attention and to entice the reader in and down the page. If her or his attention wanders, you have lost. After all, if we were only pleasing ourselves, we would not bother with sending poems out and risking rejection or even insult. We would write poems, enjoy them, and then erase them. Indeed, there are many people who write poems without letting anyone else ever see them. However, I'm assuming that anyone reading this journal does at least intend to send work out into the harsh light of the world. Indeed, once the poem is finished and published, it no longer belongs to you. People will experience it in marvelously inefficient and fabulous ways, making it mean to them what you never imagined, using it in ways that you are not sure you find comfortable. So what? It now belongs to anybody who likes it, just as an over-friendly dog will go home with any passerby who speaks kindly or whistles. They will tack it up on the bathroom, put it on the refrigerator, paste it beside their computer. They will use it in wedding ceremonies, in funerals, to get into bed with someone, to break off a relationship, to accompany a gift, to apologize, to confront. They will use your poems in classes, in rallies, in nursing homes and with sick children, so long as you have given them words that are memorable in rhythms that work on the brain. Something they can say and mean even if they cannot say exactly what it means, since a poem doesn't mean something exactly. Sometimes when students call me up and send me emails that ask, what does this poem mean? I despair. I say it means what it says in words, in sounds, in rhythms, in silences, in images. That's what it means. To me, whether a poem is dense or sparse, as syntactically complicated or simple as a child's primer, imagistic or bare, depends on the poem itself and what it needs and demands of the writer in order to become embodied in those sounds and silences, those bites of communication, those evocative, wispy associations that provoke so much the resonance of a poem, those rhythms and those images that demand our assent in the instant when unlike things are yoked in the mind, and we find the sameness in difference. Some poems proceed logically as a proof. Some go from step to next step like an algorithm. Some leap like deer through their underbrush. Some move like dreams with disparate image, melting into wild acrobatic surges of the strange and the mundane. Each poem teaches you the right way to create it as you go, that is, when you succeed. All workshops can teach anybody is the questions to ask when a poem does not work, what the variables are and how to use them. Often in workshops, poems are obscure because the writer was afraid to find out what she or he wanted to work with, not because there is any great complexity in what the poem wants to be. Then I have the sense of a poem under the quasi-poem, something unwritten underlying the thing that has been put down, distorting it. Some things cannot be gotten at that straight on. Poems about what is holy or otherwise ineffable proceed best by indirection. On the other hand, writing liturgy demands a discipline in which the self is almost erased and every image is checked to make sure it will work for group recitation. I will always try to make the poem as clear as it can be, which is sometimes quite murky and quite dense. It depends on the poem and what it needs to be. I'll share that one there in the chat room. And I think got time for a couple of Marge Piercy's poems. Let's see which one I'm drawn. Let's see which ones I'm drawn to. Let's have a looks intriguing. Visiting a dead man on a summer day. Yeah. Visiting a dead man on a summer day by Marge Piercy. In flat America, in Chicago, Graceland Cemetery on the German north side. 40 feet of Corinthian candles celebrate Pullman embedded lonely raisin in a cake of concrete. The Potter Palmers float in an island Parthenon. Barons of Hogfat, railroads and wheat are postmarked with angels and lambs. But the Getty Tomb, white, snow-patterned, in a triangle of trees swims dappled with leaf shadow. Sketched light arch within arch, delicate as fingernail moons. The green doors should not be locked. Doors of fern and flower should not be shut. Louis Sullivan, I sit on your grave. It is not now good weather for prophets. Sun eddies on the steel smoke air like sinking honey. On the inner green door of the Getty tomb, thigh bones throw from your stone, a marvel of growing, blooming, thrusting into seed. How all living wreathe and insinuate in the circuit of repetition that never repeats. Ever new birth, never rebirth. Each tide pool microcosm spiraling from your hand. Sullivan, you had another 5 years when your society would give you work. 30 years with want crackling in your hands. 30 after years with cities flowering and turning grey in your beard. All poets are unemployed nowadays. My country marches in its sleep. The past stretches a heavy mausoleum hiding its iron frame in masonry. Men burn like grass while armies grow. 30 years in the vast rumbling gut of this society you stormed to be used, screamed, no louder than any other breaking voice. The waste of a good man bleeds the future that's come in Chicago, in flat America, where the poor still bleed from the teeth, housed in sewers and filing cabinets, where prophets may spit into the wind till anger sleets their eyes shut, where this house that dances the seasons and the braid of all living, and the joy of a man making his new good thing is strange, irrelevant as a meteor. In Chicago, in flat America, in this year of our burning. And that concludes today's visit to the Poetry Corner. But now, wrap yourselves up warm a little bit. Or just put something warm over your shoulders. We're dashing across the twilight-tinged lawns to the bijou booth at his Willows Observatory. And today I've got four articles lined up, all from the Sky and Telescope website. And we start off with the first article, authored by Monica Young, posted up on August 13th, which is about how black holes. There's a study revealing how the appetites of black holes are helping researchers to determine their mass. Indeed, it's headlined "How Black Holes Eat Reveals Their Mass." So, yeah, astronomers are using quasars' extreme variability to determine the masses of the black holes that power them. So here we go. No one knows why quasars flicker. Yet these wavering beacons of light might be sending us a message about the black hole systems that power them. Whirling plasma disks feed supermassive black holes in distant galaxies, and these disks produce a cascade of visible and ultraviolet light that can outshine all the stars in the host. With so much energy packed into such a small space, though, the disks become unstable. As a result, their emissions change randomly, brightening and dimming with no recognizable pattern attributable to any single feature, such as, say, a hotspot orbiting around the black hole. Astronomers are actively working to understand why black hole disks behave the way they do. But even if we don't fully understand the mechanism behind the flickering, we can still use it to understand the systems themselves, assert Colin Burke and Yue Shen, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and their colleagues in the August 13th Science. Masses are one of only two descriptors of black holes, the other being spin. They are otherwise the ultimate black box. Yet supermassive black holes are difficult to heave onto a scale. Astronomers can measure the whirling stars or gas in the galactic center to directly weigh the central black hole, but this method only works for nearby specimens, most notably our own 4 million solar mass behemoth, Sagittarius A star. Other more indirect mass measures involve timing light coming from the disk as it echoes off nearby clouds, or even more indirectly, determining the mass based on relationships with properties of a host galaxy. Finding a new method to determine black hole mass would be a big win, and previous studies hinted that variability might be the way to do it. So Burke's team analysed 67 quasars to determine on what timescales, days, weeks, months, or years, their random brightness changes become noticeably smaller. And there's some great graphics on here as well. The researchers then compared that damping timescale to the black hole's previously measured masses, using one of those other means mentioned above. Lo and behold, they found that the damping timescale predicts the black hole mass over a huge scale, from 10,000 to 10 billion solar masses. The improved data, especially the wide range in mass, enabled the team to make clear a relation that previous studies had only hinted at. It's not a perfect one-to-one correlation, though. Individual predictions are still uncertain by a factor of two. It could be that different black hole spins or feeding rates throw the relation off a bit, or perhaps the black hole masses themselves are not exactly right. But overall, the relation is as good as any other that astronomers currently use to obtain black hole mass. This method has a downside, though, and that is time. The team needed years of brightness data for each quasar in their sample. What's more, the farther a black hole is, the more its signals are stretched out in time. More massive black holes also have longer damping timescales, and the distant black holes we see tend to be more massive. While Burke and Shen's team pored through previously published data for their sample, the future data on more distant quasars could come from large all-sky surveys, such as the one astronomers intend to conduct with the Rubin Observatory when it comes online next year. So the relation with damping timescale may have given astronomers a new way to measure mass, but it also gives them a new way to understand variability. One of the most interesting aspects of the study of Burke et al. Is that it extends its findings to much less massive objects, such as white dwarf stars, Paulina Lira, University of Chile, and Patricia Arevalo, University of Valparaiso, Chile, writing an accompanying perspective piece. That the same relation extends through many orders of magnitude suggests that the physics of accretion disks is, at least in some aspects, scalable. What a flickering black hole accretion disk actually looks like remains consigned to artists' interpretations. Is the entire disk crackling with magnetic fields? Or do hotspots flare up and dissipate in the denser inner regions? Shen suggests that the damping timescale his team measured is actually the thermal timescale, or how long it takes for the disk to cool off after something has riled it up. Instabilities in the spiraling plasma are constantly agitating the disk, but any individual temperature flare only lasts on the order of 100 days. Whatever is causing the variability, it's intrinsic to the seething plasma in the hottest and densest part of a disk. Without the ability to resolve an image of these disks, astronomers will continue to use different wavelengths and arrival times of quasar light to better understand these black hole-powered systems. Cool, I'll just share that there in the chat room. And the next one, we're visiting our Martian neighbour for this one, folks. We're going back to Gale Crater. Been there a few times already during the during trips to the observatory. Authored by Aaron Rimmer and posted up on August 16th. It's headlined Gale Crater on Mars, an ancient lake or just puddles. Now, there's been recent research, hasn't there, suggesting it was an ancient lake or some evidence has been found, but we'll carry on. So all signs pointed to an ancient lake bed in Gale Crater, where the Curiosity rover has been exploring Martian geology. But a new study suggests that wind, not water, created the telltale rock layers. So for almost two decades, NASA has been following the water on Mars. This is the reason Curiosity rover was sent to Gale Crater in 2012. At the time of launch, scientists thought the site looked like a massive lake bed. But now, an independent analysis of both Curiosity data and recent imagery taken from orbit suggests the appearance of the rock layers, previously thought to be deposits laid down by water, actually come from wind and chemical weathering instead. The new study by PhD student Jian Cheng Liu, the University of Hong Kong, and colleagues appears in the August 6th Science Advances. They begin by pointing out that despite early observations that indicated Gale Crater once held a large body of water, few of the rocks Curiosity has examined actually look like lake deposits. The team thinks that this discrepancy is best explained if the crater only ever had a small smattering of little ponds. Then the majority of the ground explored to date would best be explained as basalt, sand and silt. The layers of different kinds of rock, which were thought to have been formed by water activity, could instead have been created by wind in a caustic atmosphere. Previously, global studies of Mars showed a mineralogical transition from iron and magnesium clays to aluminium clays and sulfate rocks. There are different theories about what this shift in ground composition might mean. Some think it might be evidence of a great environmental transition, perhaps the one that saw Mars change from a warmer and wetter world to the icy desert landscape it is today. Others think it might be more complicated than that. Sulfates are like a kind of salt, says team member Joe Mikowski. So these younger minerals might represent a drying out of the planet. But this doesn't necessarily mean global climate change happened at that moment. At the very beginning of its journey, Curiosity identified some thin mudstone at the bottom of Gale Crater, which likely formed when mud settled out of calm water. But since then, as the rover has travelled up to the base of Mount Sharp, it has not seen any more lake-form rocks. But it has seen a slow change in the chemical content of the samples. Data from Curiosity seem to indicate that elements such as aluminium that stay put under chemical weathering conditions become more prevalent at higher altitudes. Other elements that are more easily dispersed, such as iron, become scarcer. This push and pull relationship is similar to what we see on ancient exposed rock formations on Earth, which used to have a very different atmosphere than it does today. Researchers argue that the rocks in Gale Crater were chemically weathered in a low-oxygen greenhouse atmosphere containing methane and hydrogen gas. The Mars Science Laboratory, NASA's Curiosity Group, has attributed the compositional shift in the Gale Crater rocks to the original Big Lake hypothesis. But this new analysis suggests that the data is more ambiguous. This new paper says you don't really need much water at all, says Bradley Thompson, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, who was not involved in the study. It points out a possible ambiguity in the data that only more data, a lot more samples or even sample return, could resolve. Perseverance rover is attempting to collect samples for an eventual return to Earth, and it's possible that these could provide more definitive clues to Mars' water history. Until then, scientists must be content with watching Curiosity's slow trek up Mount Sharp, data point by a single data point, constructing a plausible theory of the crater's past. There you go, I'm just going to post that there in the chat room. And the next one, we are going a little bit further. Saturn, authored by Monica Young again, posted up August 17th. And it's headline, Saturn has a fuzzy core too, which I think is fabulous. The new research reveals that Saturn, like Jupiter, has a fuzzy core that extends 60% of the way to its surface. This finding joins others in changing how we think about the formation of giants in our solar system and beyond. So Saturn quivers like heavy jello, its gaseous surface heaving by a meter every couple of hours. These subtle shakes pull on the giant's rings, whipping up spirals that reveal the planet's interior structure. Now, a study of the ring's spirals has revealed that Saturn, like Jupiter, has a fuzzy core that extends 60% of the way to its surface. The finding, which was published August 16th in Nature Astronomy, completely changes our understanding not just of Saturn, but of all giant planets. Astronomers have long debated what the guts of Saturn look like. Is the core solid or liquid? Is it all mixed up or is it layered? And how does the planet generate a magnetic field whose axis is almost exactly centered on the planet's spin axis? An unusual thing for planets whose magnetic fields come from churning in the core. To investigate these ideas, astronomers have used observations of the planet's rings from NASA's Cassini spacecraft, which watched the planet for 13 years before diving in for a grand finale in 2017. While the moons tug on the outer rings, it's the planet itself that pulls on the inner rings, shaping the ice particles into spirals. Cassini did not image the ring spirals directly. Instead, astronomers used the spacecraft to look through the rings at a background star. As a star passed behind a given ring, the spacecraft's instruments measured how much the star dimmed to determine how densely packed the ring material was. Using multiple such stellar occultations, astronomers were able to measure spirals in the C ring. However, astronomers at the time couldn't make sense of all of what they saw. In particular, one of the waves had a very low frequency that they couldn't explain. Now, Christopher Mankiewicz and Jim Fuller, both at Caltech, make the case that this frequency indicates a quiver that penetrated deep into the planet. Such a low-frequency quiver indicates that there's no hard boundary between the core and the envelope around it. Instead, the rocks and ices in the planet's core are smeared out, dissolved into the fluid helium and hydrogen under intense pressure, Mankiewicz explains. From the demands of ring seismology on one hand and expectations from materials physics on the other, the solid core in Saturn is looking very unlikely, Mankiewicz adds. Combining this seismic data with Cassini's measurements of local gravitational fields and with computer models of Saturn's interior, researchers conclude that the core of the planet is 55 times Earth's mass, with rock and ice making up 17 Earth's worth, hydrogen and helium make up the rest. To maintain stability in the face of sloshing, all this material must be layered, with the heaviest layers at the bottom. The hydrogen and helium gas in the planet gradually mix with more and more ice and rock as you move towards the planet's center, Mankiewicz says. It's a bit like parts of Earth's oceans, where the saltiness increases as you get to deeper and deeper levels, creating a stable configuration. In addition to increasing rock and ice salt, there's also a gradual change in the mix of hydrogen and helium. When Mankiewicz and Fuller folded in Cassini's measurements of gravity, they could see that helium must also be more concentrated towards Saturn's center, consistent with previous ideas of helium rain, which blobs of helium condense out of the hydrogen and settle down toward the core. This is a very interesting result that indeed changes the way we think about Saturn and giant planets in general, says planetary scientist Ravit Hellad, University of Zurich, who was not involved in the study. For example, one planet formation scenario has hydrogen helium gas glomming onto a rocky core to make planets like Saturn. It could be that the rocky core then disintegrated under the pressure, diffusing outward into the current fuzzy core. Or it could be there was never a rocky core to begin with. Saturn's layer cake interior also affects its magnetic field. As planets are churning electric fluids that create the global magnetic fields are in the core. But if Saturn's core is layered, it can't also be churning. Planet's magnetic field instead have to come from the outer gaseous envelope. This should be investigated further, Helen says. Results reach further than the solar system. When we examine giant planets around other stars, we assume we understand our own system's giants. Helen thinks this new understanding of Saturn's interior will affect how we characterize exoplanets as well. And finally, don't know if I'm going to get time to read all of this, but I can tell you what's happening roughly. Jupiter is dazzling at opposition on August 20th, authored by Bob King, posted up today. No, yesterday. Yep. This is happening on August 20th. So Jupiter comes to opposition on August 20th when it will shine brighter and closer than at any other time this year. With night starting earlier and cooler temperatures arriving, there's no better time to make the most of the planet. So yeah, roughly every 13 months, Earth comes from behind and passes Jupiter in a planetary horse race that's been going on for billions of years. And the prize? Spectacular views of the solar system's largest planet from dusk till dawn. So on August 20th, the Earth and Jupiter will line up on the same side of the Sun, where they're being closest to the year. Separated by just 600 million kilometres, Jupiter will gleam at magnitude minus 2.9, the pleasingly plump diameter of 49.1 inches, I think that is. So, yeah. The two are only slightly more distant, and they'll be in September 2022 at perihelic opposition. So, yep, Jupiter already dominates the evening sky, poking out from between tree branches and catching your eye, even when you're not looking. Still paired with Saturn, like last year, but the planets are farther apart, residing on either side of Capricornus, and separated by about 18 degrees. Speedier Jupiter continues to outpace Saturn. Next year, they'll only be distant neighbours. On the night of August 21st, 22nd, the full moon and Jupiter will line up in conjunction, 5 degrees apart. Eye grabber even for city dwellers. So yeah, that's what's going on, and there's some great bits and pieces on this article as well, which I'm going to share in the chat room, which goes into a little bit more detail about what other astronomers are looking for this weekend. But anyway, folks, we're coming up to the top of the hour. I'm going to be handing over the reins shortly. We'll start with Studio A, telling you what's happening for the rest of the evening. Handing over the reins shortly to the mechanic with the common denominator. Following the mechanic at 5 p.m. will be Deacon John with Liberation Nation. Following Deacon at 6 p.m. will be Dennis Fetcho with Inside the Eye. Following Dennis at 8 p.m. will be Chuck Gregory with The New American Dream. Rounding off the evening here on A at 10 p.m. Eastern will be David Devine with Mini Ice Age Conversation. Over on B, the next live show will be at 6 p.m, which will be Mario with This, That and the Other. Following Mario at 8 p.m. will be Mr. Rowe with Reality Extraction. And rounding off the evening on B will be J. Charles Parker with the Centre Path Matrix Warriors. Now, seeing in the day at midnight over on B, or seeing in Friday at midnight Eastern, will be Dave Scott with Spaced Out Radio. Seeing in the day over here on A at midnight Eastern as well will be Keith Roberts with Keith AZ Live. And I'll be back with you on Sunday on Studio B with Widow's Weekend World. All sorts of geeky stuff going on there on Sunday. So you all take care. Good few days, and I'll see you on Sunday. You'll take care.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m.